Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome you to another edition of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection. And today we are in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. So if you have a Bible, I'd like to ask you to take it. Let's turn together to Ecclesiastes 7. And we're looking at verses 20 through 29 together. Ecclesiastes 7, verses 20 through 29. Scripture says, "There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also take no heed unto all the words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes thou in thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hath cursed others. All this have I proved by wisdom, and said, I will be wise. But it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? I applied my heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things, and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands are bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those I have not found. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." Now, when we come to the passage in front of us, the way that I would put this passage is that this is a tragic misuse of the potential that people have. And when Solomon is writing these verses, I'd summarize it this way. He's recognizing that God created mankind in goodness and in innocence, and with tremendous opportunity to serve him, to know him, to enjoy him. Yet mankind is observably broken and crooked. And as Solomon talks about his observations in life, and we're going to get into this a little bit later in this discussion, but I think he's looking at his own life. He's looking at his own, what he's experienced personally, what he's learned through the course of his lifetime, that people are broken. And he includes himself in that position. And so with that in mind, let's look at that and think about how we can wisely apply this understanding that mankind's not basically good. In fact, mankind is broken. And the world that we live in is broken, yet there's hope, and there's hope because of the gospel. The first observation we see is this: observing people give you an endless opportunity to see the dignity and the brokenness of humanity. Dignity meaning we see the goodness of God and his creation. The brokenness meaning we see the corruption of the fall, and it plays out over and over again in human interaction. He puts it this way in verse 20, and then at the end of the section in verse 29, he says, "There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." He then says in verse 29, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." There are two things that he points out here that I want to emphasize. The first is the universality of the brokenness of people. He says, "There's not a just man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." I can look out over humanity and I don't find any examples of people who are without error before God. All people are broken. All people are sinners. And so he just emphasizes that in the passage. The second thing that he emphasizes is how tragic this is. He says, "God made man upright, yet they've sought many inventions." In other words, he says, I've seen the goodness of God's creation, the dignity that he's given to people. I see the wisdom and the order and the way that man is created in his image. He says, yet in spite of that, what I see is that people take the good gifts of God, the knowledge, the ability to think through things, and the rationality of humanity, the ability to create and use things. And he says, what have I found? I found that people take those things and they abuse them, and they use them for unjust ends. And he said, when I think about this, I see that this is a universal problem. And so when we observe people, we see endless opportunities to see that there's dignity and brokenness in humanity. The second observation we find in the text is this. He recognizes this, and it's both instructive and it's humbling at the same time. In verse 21, he says, "Take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest I hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hath cursed others." Now this is a really interesting statement that Solomon makes here. I could break it down with these two statements. First of all, don't take the criticism of others too personally. He says, listen, people talk. People say foolish things. People say mean and cruel, hurtful things. People say evil things. And so just recognize that people are going to do what people are going to do. People are going to say what people are going to say. And so don't take it to heart too personally. But then he kind of pulls it back and he says this, here's why. Because you yourself are one of those people. You've said some pretty harsh things too. You've said some pretty hurtful things too. The person that doesn't like being gossiped against is very likely a person who has gossiped against others. The person who hates being lied to is a person that has most certainly lied to someone. The person that doesn't like it when people use harsh terms toward them or when people are condescending and cutting and rude, very likely they've done the exact same thing to others. The reality is that when we point the finger at people and say, how dare you speak that way, we've done it too. And the reason that Solomon brings this up is he's to recognize, look, this is going to help us to realize when we deal with people, we need to deal with them in balance. We need to deal with the things that people say in balance. We need to recognize that people are fallen and they're going to say things that they don't mean, that they mean at the time but they haven't thought through carefully. There are things that people say in anger. There are things that people say in fear. There are things that people will say that they know aren't true. And we need to recognize that we're also guilty of those very things ourselves. The third observation that I have is this. Sometimes we can see that there are problems, but because we are ensnared by our own fleshly passions, we are dominated by our sin. In verses 26 through 28, Solomon says something that's very interesting. He says, I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Who pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out of the account which yet my soul seeketh. But I find not one man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Now this is a pretty harsh assessment that Solomon is making of people. He's saying, if I look out over a thousand people, I might find one man of honor. He says, if I look out over that same group of a thousand, I won't find one lady like that. You say, well, how in the world could Solomon say such a thing? In fact, when we think about Proverbs 31, obviously there are ladies out there who are not just good people, they are virtuous. They are women of moral excellence. In fact, he exalts the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. One of the things that Solomon talks about is in the book of Proverbs, how marriage is a wonderful thing. It's a gift from God. And he says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord. So obviously Solomon doesn't believe that all women are evil in a general sense. And Solomon doesn't believe that marriage is evil. And Solomon doesn't believe that there's no such thing as a virtuous woman. But Solomon is giving us pretty much an explanation of how he feels about life. When he looks out over his own life and he looks out over his own experience, he sees that his own experience has been one of interacting with very difficult, very dishonest, very unsavory individuals. In fact, it's interesting that Solomon talks this way because really what it tells us is though Solomon recognized human nature, Solomon often made very poor decisions in light of the wisdom that he actually had. In fact, when we go to 1 Kings chapter 11, this is what the scripture tells us about Solomon. It says, it came to pass when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods. His heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. You know, when Solomon writes these words in Ecclesiastes 7, I can't help but think that really what Solomon is doing is speaking about his own experience. Here's a man that understood human nature. Here's a man who understood God's good gift of marriage, that God created marriage to be between one man, one woman for life. Here's a man that taught his children in Proverbs 5, 6, and 7 of the beauty of monogamous marriage. Here's a man that talked about how glorious it was to rejoice with the wife of your youth. Here's a man that wrote the book of Song of Solomon, which was really magnifying the beauty and the goodness of God's plan of monogamous marriage. So Solomon knew the facts of what God had created marriage for. Yet tragically, we see that Solomon was not a morally upright man. In fact, if there was any area where Solomon really had a fatal flaw, it was in his interaction with women. He was a man who married hundreds upon hundreds, up to 1,000 different women. And a lot of these individuals, these were simply marriages that were connecting nations and people groups for political purposes. The truth is, while Solomon knew in his head what was right, Solomon was a tragic example of someone who didn't follow the wisdom and the good sense that God enabled him to have. In other words, Solomon was so ensnared by his fleshly passions that he didn't live a life of godly wisdom in this area of how he related to women. And so really what we see in this passage is that even though a person can know what is right, they may not have the discipline to actually do it. And this is a tragedy. And the reality is that this falls right in line with what Solomon is saying here. A tragic misuse of potential. You have people all around you who are broken individuals. They've been created with dignity and purpose and have intelligence and the ability to create and use things. Yet they use those good gifts of God for wrong purposes. We see that when other people speak in ways that we find unsavory and we become upset about it, we need to recognize, hey, we've done the exact same thing. And what does Solomon do? He draws from his own experience. And really what we see is that Solomon was a man who had the knowledge that he needed. He had the intelligence and the wisdom, but not the discipline to follow through with what God had given him. And the potentials that he had were potentials that were lost in many ways. So here's the question we should ask this morning. With these truths in front of us, how should we respond to them? How do we practically apply what's in front of us? Well, the first thing is we need to have a balanced view of other people. The reality is there are times that we will look at others and we'll be shocked by the things they'll say and do. Let's realize human nature is something that we all have to contend with. Let's have a balanced view of others. Let's realize that people are going to let us down. We're going to let others down. And so not only do we need to have a balanced view of others, we need to have a balanced view of self. The reality is when you think about the potentials that God has given us and how we often don't use those for his honor and glory like we can, like we should, we need to recognize that the only reason we can accomplish anything good for God's glory is it's because of his grace. And so we need to be humbled by that very simple reality. And the third thing I want to say is this. We need to have a grateful view of God. The truth is, even though this world is a broken world, and even though God created us with dignity and the ability to use and manage because he created us in his image, and we abuse those opportunities, the good gifts of God, we don't use them the way that we really should and we could, we see that God still loves us. Still cares about us. He's merciful. He's patient. He's long-suffering. He's calling men to repentance and faith in the gospel. And when a person is redeemed, he works on them from the day they're converted till the day they die to mature them into the image of Christ. The reality is that even though we are broken and though we are fallen, God has provided redemption through Christ. And God is going to one day deliver us from this broken, fallen world. And so when we have a passage like this one where we're reminded of the brokenness of humanity and the misuse of God's good gifts and the potential that we have, we need to be reminded to view others with balance, to view ourselves in humility, and to glory in the gospel and God's goodness. The reality is we are a people who have a lot to be thankful for. In spite of who we are and what we've done, God loves us, and he provided redemption for us through Christ. I hope that's a challenge to you this morning. I know that yesterday was a tough day for me. I wasn't able to be in church. By the way, I wasn't in church not because I was terribly sick, but this is basically we're trying to be cautious. Hopefully on Wednesday, Lord willing, I'll be able to be back out And so I'm looking forward to that. I missed everyone. I was able to follow the live stream for Sunday school and for our morning and evening worship services. And it was a blessing to hear the preaching and to see the Hodges with us. I hope that you had a wonderful Sunday, and I hope that you have a great rest of your week. Lord willing, on Wednesday, I'll be able to see many of you. And so let's bow together for a word of prayer, and then we'll conclude our video today. Our Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to spend time looking into your word. I pray that you'd help each person that was listening to this study this morning to be challenged by what we've seen. Father, help us to think in a balanced way about others. Help us to be humble when we think about ourselves. And Father, help us to be grateful for your goodness and your grace. I pray that this would be a wonderful week of your blessings. I pray that you'd strengthen each of us. Help us to make good choices. Help us to live in light of eternity. I pray that you'd help each person that's dealing with heaviness and difficulty, that you would encourage and strengthen them this week. And I pray that you would help me as I've been sick over the weekend, that I'd be back in good strength very soon. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's been good to see each of you this morning, and I hope that you have a great rest of your day. Lord willing, we will meet again next time. Bye now.